Welcome to Power Play for October 5th, a day which literally dawned on a freer trade deal being inked with a dozen countries lining the Pacific Ocean. It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and even dairy farmers are pleased with protections and compensation for their industry. The auto parts sector? Not so much. We will discuss the deal with International Trade Minister Ed Fast and the head of the Auto Workers Union. Also ahead, with just 2 weeks to go before voting day, Liberals released their full campaign platform today. We will look at what it promises beyond red ink in future budgets. And Google searches are showing the public has a very strong curiosity about one leader in particular, and not much interest in the NECAB issue. Our Google Eye breaks down your searches and what they say about the campaign so far. And the NDP might want to turn away when pollster Nick Nanos appears on the screen at the bottom of the clock. It's not a pretty picture as Tom Mulcair's party continues to slide further into third place with time running out for a recovery. But first, here's a relief, Stephen Harper talking about the long-term impact on Canada from today's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal.
Any negotiation I've ever been in, of any kind, there is, as you say, always give and take. The big thing is, do not lose the big picture in the trees or in the details. Don't lose the forest for the trees. I think we got a tremendous deal here that achieves virtually all of our objectives in every sector, but fundamentally gets Canada tariff-free access into the large swath of the global economy of the 21st century. So I think this is a big deal.
Well, the text hasn't been released, but the tariff-protected dairy industry is suddenly very much on side. While the industry will face a small increase in foreign competition, it will be generously compensated, with the average farmer getting about $165,000 per year, even though their production quotas are guaranteed. Dairy farmers released a statement with this reaction. They said, "We obviously would have preferred that no additional market access be conceded in the dairy sector. However, we recognize that our government fought hard against other countries' demands and have lessened the burden by announcing mitigation measures." But the auto sector, well, it took a bit of a hit. Foreign cars manufactured with as little as 45% of content from the partnership will still be allowed in tariff-free. The loudest naysayers standing by. But the deal's biggest booster, second perhaps only to Stephen Harper, is Ed Fast. The international trade minister joins us via Skype from the Toronto airport, on his way home from a marathon weekend of talks. Mr. Fast, just a quick background. I doubt you have slept for quite a while, but did you ever doubt this deal was going to come together?
Well, you know, we had no doubt that we had a plan and a strategy that if we executed it, we would get the outcomes that Canada needed, that would position us long-term within the fastest growing economic region in the world, namely the Asia-Pacific region. And we've achieved that today.
It's amazing, the dairy industry. They were on Parliament Hill, as you know, making a lot of noise that this was going to be a horrible deal for them, and yet now they seem to be on side with it. How did you get some of the countries that wanted a lot more access to our dairy products, how did you get them to drop their resistance to that and let this deal go through with supply management intact?
Well, Don, you may remember when we first applied to enter the TPP, we were told we would have to get rid of our system of supply management. We said no, we would never do that. We were able to persuade the TPP partners that Canada would be a valuable and constructive partner at the table. Throughout those negotiations over the last 3 years, people were skeptics. They were scoffers, naysayers. You can't get it done. You're going to have to give up supply management. And we ensured that this agreement would be one that would protect supply management long-term, would provide for a bright future for our dairy farmers, for our chicken farmers, for our egg farmers. We achieved that outcome just as we had promised.
Why do you feel taxpayers should go about compensating the industry when those protections are more or less in place still?
Well, actually, this compensation is to compensate these farmers for any reduction in incomes they may experience as a result of this agreement coming into force, or any reduction in quota value that they might experience. As you know, many of these farmers have invested very heavily in their farms, heavily in their quota. The banks have also lent in a very significant way against quota. We want to make sure we keep our dairy farmers, our chicken and egg farmers whole. That was a promise we made. And despite all those skeptics and scoffers, we actually delivered just as we had promised. And that's why you've seen such a positive reaction from our dairy farmers and from our chicken and egg farmers.
Quick point, though. I mean, is the subsidy money locked in already? Have you approved it through cabinet?
Yes, we have approved the compensation package through cabinet. We are very pleased that the supply management industry now can see what it looks like. And again, the response has been positive.
I'm curious about the auto sector, where our next guest is going to talk about how he feels the auto parts. No compensation for them, although they do anticipate job losses and maybe a loss of business. Is there a double standard here?
Not at all. In fact, we do not anticipate job losses at all. In fact, we expect there will be thousands and thousands of jobs created. Because remember, what we're doing is we're opening up a whole new market for our auto industry, for our auto parts industry. And that's why we've been working very closely with the auto industry, so that we knew exactly what kind of an outcome was going to continue to support a robust industry in Canada. And so, contrary to what Jerry Diaz has been saying, we believe that this agreement will actually be a boon to the auto industry. It means that Canada is within the largest trading bloc in the world. Can you imagine if Canada was outside of the TPP, where our preferences within the North American marketplace would become eroded, where our opportunities for Canadian companies across all sectors would have no opportunity to grow their exports, and over time, due to competitive disadvantages, would see their exports erode? Instead, we've achieved an outcome that will serve Canadians for many, many generations to come.
All right. Well, Ed Fast, thanks for joining us. Get home and get some sleep.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry Diaz is standing by, but CTV's Laurie Graham is following Stephen Harper as he sets out to sell the TPP on the campaign trail. Laurie.
Don, Stephen Harper announced the TPP deal as Prime Minister today. Hours later, he was selling it as Conservative leader, trying to get reelected. His speech here in Richmond Hill, Ontario, focused a lot on trade and on the TPP agreement. Harper says it's the most important deal in Canadian history and all sectors will benefit. And there are provisions for supply management producers, including dairy farmers, as the deal takes shape. It still needs to be ratified in the House of Commons, but Harper says it will be hard to object to a deal that provides Canadian businesses unprecedented access, 800 million customers in the Asia Pacific. But Don, the fact is there are 11 other countries involved, and it's not like they're going to wait for Canada to make a decision. Harper today said there are really only two options, a deal or no deal. And he said looking down the road 10 years from now, he believes Canadians will look back and say it's a good thing. Looking ahead to the next 2 weeks of this election campaign, that's exactly what Harper will be telling Canadians. Don.
Thank you, Laurie. Well, with the deal's text unlikely to be released for several days, if not longer, reaction was mixed in rival leader camps. Keeping a close eye on the NDP is our Katie Simpson, and she joins us from Toronto. Katie.
Don, Tom Mulcair is digging in his heels, bluntly saying if elected, Canada will not be part of a deal where 20,000 jobs will be lost. The president of Unifor is making the prediction that the auto sector will lose that many jobs under this deal. Mulcair was asked to explain what he would say to stakeholders who are excited about the deal, saying only that he would tell them Canada deserves better, adding that Canada already trades with these countries anyway.
If elected, Canada will not be part of an agreement that removes 20,000 Canadian jobs. Every time we say that, it's important to remember that every job you and I just referenced is actually a family that will lose their livelihood. I won't accept to see another 20,000 families lose their livelihood because of Stephen Harper's inability to negotiate a good deal.
Mulcair was in Toronto today to make an arts announcement, and the crowd actually turned on reporters when the questions focused on TPP and not the arts. Today, Mulcair did promise $60 million in new funding for the National Film Board and Telefilm if elected, but that message was lost as the focus today is on the big new trade deal. Dawn.
All right, thank you, Katie. Well, let's get the TPP view from Justin Trudeau on the hustings earlier today.
The quick answer is we are a pro-trade party. We will take the responsible time to look at the provisions, to hear from Canadians on the impact of this deal, and we will make the right decision for Canada.
Okay, one loud and very discouraging word greeted the TPP, the signing this morning. Canadian auto parts workers are exposed to stiffer competition from foreign manufacturers. No talk of compensation for that. Unifor President Jerry Diaz joins me live in the studio to talk about this. All right, Jerry, what's going to happen?
Well, there's no question. We're going to lose 20,000 jobs in the auto sector right off the bat.
Ed Fast doesn't seem to think that. He thinks you're going to create jobs.
If Ed Fast was made of wood, his nose would be a foot long. The facts are, is that the reason that we had the content thresholds in the first place was to protect jobs. So the big winner in this is Japan. The big winner in this is Honda and Toyota, because they'll now be able to import cars to Canada, predominantly with Chinese, Malaysian, Indonesian parts. And the question now becomes, why would Honda and Toyota continue to invest in Canada when they can ship a vehicle from Japan to the United States cheaper than they can build it here and ship it?
Well, let's in theory argue that cheaper parts and cars would generate more car sales here, and there are more car sales means the parts that do come from Canada and go in those cars increases business. Is that, am I talking through a longer nose on that one too?
Please, do we honestly believe that we're going to have a thriving auto parts industry here in Canada? We're going to ship parts to Japan. They're going to put them on Japanese vehicles and then ship them back to Canada and the United States. Do we honestly believe that when they can get those same parts from China and Indonesia and Malaysia for a fraction of the cost? So the argument is nonsense. They should be honest with Canadians. They should came out today and said there's going to be winners, but the auto parts sector is going to get hammered, and there's no question we're going to lose 20,000 jobs.
Where do you get that figure from? What makes you come up with 20,000 out of the total workforce in auto parts?
Well, because when you remove the content in assembly or lower it from 62.5% to 45%, and auto parts from 60% to 35%. If you take the weighted average, then it's about 20% drop. Take 20% from 110 auto jobs, you're looking at a 20,000 job hit right off the bat.
What do you think should be done about that? Does the government compensate people who lose their jobs, or how do you see it going forward?
No, of course not going to, but think about it. They had to buy the votes from the dairy farmers, because the dairy farmers were furious. So what did they do? They're saying it's a great deal for dairy farmers. Of course it's not. That's why they're giving them $4.3 billion of taxpayers' money for their votes. Mm-hmm. So we know right off the bat that the auto workers took a hit. We know that the dairy farmers took a hit. And now we know the Canadian taxpayers are taking a hit, because it's going to cost $4.3 billion to bail out the dairy farmers. And this is a great deal for all of Canadians.
What do you think is going to happen in the election? Do you think this, like, Tom Mulcair's come out solidly against it, Justin Trudeau's taking a wait-and-see attitude. Is it going to impact, or do you think voters will just shrug and move along?
No, there's no question it's going to have an impact in Ontario. We've already lost 38,000 auto jobs under Stephen Harper's watch. We've lost 450,000 manufacturing jobs under Stephen Harper's watch. That's why when he tells us that all these trade deals are magnificent, look at the facts, look at the figures. The last deal, Korea. Since January, Korean imports to Canada have gone up 8%. Exports from Canada to Korea are down 7%. And that's typical of all the trade deals. So we've got to just get around the smoke and mirrors and look at facts. Facts are, Harper inherited a $55 billion surplus in trade. Today, we have a $35 billion deficit, a $90 billion swing in 9 years. They're rather incompetent when it comes to negotiating, if you ask me.
All right, Jerry Diaz, let's see what happens. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate this. Okay, we do have breaking news at this hour. CTV News has confirmed that the Federal Court of Appeal has denied the federal government's request for a stay on that NECAB ruling. This regards to the case of Zunira Ishak, the young woman who wanted to wear her NECAB while taking her oath of citizenship. The case still goes to the Supreme Court, but this means she can wear her NECAB at her citizenship ceremony and while voting, on October 19th. And that's kind of interesting. All right, we'll talk more about this later. After the break, our Monday foursome of fearless insiders will dissect the Liberal platform, which was released today, and assess the impact, if any, of the new trade deal on the election campaign on October 19th. Please stay with us.
Time to invest is now. Not because our economy has had a weak couple of months, but because under Stephen Harper, we've had 10 weak years. That's why I am so pleased to be here today at the university that bears Laurier's name to launch our full platform. It's a platform that reasserts the vision that made Canada successful for so long, that made us the envy of the world.
Okay, better late than never. The Liberals did release their platform today to university students, where Trudeau promised more help for post-secondary education. Also in the lineup, the Liberal platform highlights include $190 million for the Canadian Compassionate Caregivers, $100 million per year to support guns and gangs, police task forces, no required student loan repayment until graduates earn at least $25,000 per year. They'll implement carbon pricing, restore door-to-door mail delivery, restore the long-form census, and end the practice of those big omnibus bills.
And repeal gravity.
I believe that when I see it. Okay, so 2 weeks from today it ends. The 11-week campaign marathon is down to the final sprint, and the issues are having an impact no one could have imagined what these issues would be back in August. Let's bring in the Monday Strats to discuss the latest from the trail. Rick Anderson, with his conservative roots, he hails from I2 Issues and Advertising. Robin Sears has NDP loyalties. You heard him heckling a little earlier. He's from Earnscliffe. Eddie Goldenberg was chief of staff to Jean Chrétien, and he's at Bennett Jones. And journalist extraordinaire, now retired or taking a break, Greg Weston, here from Nano's Research.
That's news. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Fantastic.
All right, I want to go to you first, Eddie. Platform comes out. I don't know whether it's a glorified election pamphlet or if it's of any use at all. What did you make of it?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, most of what's in it, Mr. Trudeau has already spoken
about.
Has already spoken about. I think the advantage of having a written platform is for afterwards if you win. Right now, the platform coming out today, with the public of the Liberal Party, if there was one of other parties, what the public service would do is that they would look at it very carefully, they would put it in their transition books, and when a new government is formed, a new minister comes in, say Veterans Affairs, just for illustration, and the deputy minister will say, look, you know, we've gone through your platform, here's what's easy to do. Here's what you may have thought was easy to do in the opposition, but is a little bit more complicated to do in government. Here are some things that you could probably do better in a different way. And here are some things that we might, as public servants, think are not good public policy, but if you want to do it, it's doable. So I think the advantage of having a written platform is it helps a great deal when a new government comes into office, whatever party it is.
Check mark when they do what they
yes,
do
it does
and they
too.
Don't do.
Yes.
Robin, platforms, are they sort of a passe now that you need a full platform like this?
I'm not a great platform guy, I have to admit. The Red Book was a delightful bit of fiction way back when. But
well, Robin, that's
I don't really think that. I don't think we really
don't
need to play that game
him
all
like
that.
This.
But, you know, it's,
you shouldn't rise to the bait. But the funny thing about it was, why did they do it today of all days when there was this other subject?
Which we're going to get to very quickly. Rick, quick thought on this, and then we'll get to the meaty one.
Well, like Eddie said, there's not much new in that platform. We've seen it before, and it confirms, I think, the worst fears that we've had about it. Billions of dollars in new taxes, 120,000 jobs lost just on the payroll taxes alone. And, a deficit that's not necessary, it's a result, or the rationale for it is a recession that's actually not underway in the country anymore. So Mr. Trudeau is inventing the need for a deficit, creating a deficit the country shouldn't have for 3 years and who knows how long afterwards.
All right, Greg, final word to you on this topic.
Well, that's the real problem with these big, long written platforms is that at this moment, I'm kind of doubting that anybody other than Rick has read the thing cover to cover. So it's kind of hard to dispute this stuff. Look, somebody once said...
Took my whole lunch break.
somebody once said that the importance of party platforms is not so people will read it or understand it. It's so that they have one. People don't really care that much about what's in it. They want to know you've got one. And if they go looking for a specific issue that is of interest to them, they'll find something there. Because I promise nobody can remember what was in the 2011 platform book the day after it was written.
I think that's true. All right, Trans-Pacific Partnership, drum roll, please. Robin, I'll start with you because your fearless leader is standing up against this thing big time. He's throwing it behind it even without reading the text. Smart strategy, or should he have put a little water in his wine?
Well, Don, I'm probably more prejudiced than anybody else at this table because I still have the very live scars of the 1988 campaign, where the NDP's approach to free trade was nuance, and the Liberals' approach was to rip up the agreement. And you may recall, it turned out rather better for them than for us. I do think that the position is a gift for Mr. Mulcair, because we have the traditional opponent and proponent, prime minister and leader of the opposition, and this other guy standing in the middle saying, I don't know. Not sure that's a clever place for Trudeau to be.
Hmm. Is it not a clever place to be? Say, I don't know, I'll read it and make a call?
Well, Don, I think that, I mean, first of all, I'll say my own prejudice. I'm very much of a free trader, and I think that Canada should be part of a TPP. Mm-hmm. I think the problem probably for the Prime Minister is that those who are against it will probably be louder over the next couple of weeks than those who are for it. But in terms of the politics of it, I mean, what Mr. Harper has said is, I know what's, you know, I know I helped negotiate it, I know what's in it, and I support it.
And you can't read
and,
it.
And, no. And what Mr. Trudeau has said is, I believe in free trade, I think Canada should probably be part of it, but I haven't seen it, and let me look at it before I come to a final conclusion. And what Mr. Mulcair has said is, I haven't read it, but I'm against